Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hello and welcome to This Week in the Garden. I'm Peter Seabrook, here to exchange some news, views, a bit of seasonal advice and hopefully answer some of your gardening quandaries along the way. The run-up to Christmas has proved desperately busy for me. It's a bit frustrating too when so many around appear to be on holiday until the new year. I mean, last week, thanks to the generosity of bulb merchants Diego and O.A. Taylor and Sons, we had over 15,000 hyacinth, narcissus and tulip bulbs delivered to Floral Fantasia at the RHS Hyde Hall Garden. Thanks to some sterling help from John Sexton, and along with Molly and Matt, best part of 8,000 were planted in the conservatory borders at Hyde Hall and under a row of apple trees on Saturday alone. The job was pretty well finished by Tuesday this week, with beds, borders, pans and large wooden boxes all planted up. You may think the third week of December too late to be planting spring flowering bulbs. But the larger bulbs, such kinds as allium, narcissus and tulips, can be planted by the first week of January, as long as the soil is neither waterlogged nor frozen. Under mulches at Hyde Hall, the soil was really quite dry, and it's to be hoped that mixing some of that garden compost mulch into the soil as we trailed in the bulbs will open things up and let winter rains soak in. The hyacinths especially were making a bit of new root, and they needed moisture if they're going to develop well enough to grow full-length flower stems. Speaking to one or two of the bulb suppliers, I was interested to hear that the problems with HGV drivers and Brexit delayed the delivery of some bulbs almost to the extent that they arrived as the end of season stocks were being marked down. So if you do visit your local garden centre in the next day or so, or perhaps towards the end of next week, you may still find some very good varieties at keen prices. But do go for the big bulbs. Any pre-packed small bulbs could well be quite desiccated after storage in warm garden centres. What's new? Well, the government department DEFRA released its second consultative document on peat, with the proposals to ban the sale of peat in composts by the end of this parliament, for gardeners at least. Some 30 leading figures in the industry have signed an open letter asking for a full and fair debate on this subject. With just 0.4% of peat disturbed for horticultural use, it's difficult to understand why attention is not drawn to the other 99.6% of peat around the world that is burnt, sometimes as a fuel and sometimes by accident, by cultivations in the Far East, and, of course, land used by agriculture and forestry in Europe. Plant buyers at large retail chains have been attracted by the open letter. Apparently no one has put forward the Propeat case and given publicity to the fact that across the channel, Dutch, Belgian, German and other European growers continue to use peat and expect peat potting compost demand to increase 400% by 2050. It looks to me as if we need to be working hard on reflooding cutaway raised bogs and reseeding those with sphagnum. I was interested to see on a visit to Perrywood Garden Centre at Tiptree in Essex that if you bought a Christmas tree from them and registered the purchase, they'll come early in the new year and collect it, shred and compost the shreddings. Looks to be a very sensible approach to Christmas tree disposal. As to seasonal advice, a break will be taken for 3 days over Christmas, and I can't wait for a spell without the morning alarm, without press deadlines, without urgent emails nor a flow of telephone calls. Just time to sit back, perhaps read a book, eat and sleep. Tuesday after Christmas, I hope the weather will be open and dry enough to allow me to really get into winter digging on the veg plot. And if it's wet, well then, into the polytunnel where the borders need to be tidied up and prepared for early spring salads. All being well, our family will be together on Boxing Day when we plan to plant a commemorative horse chestnut tree as part of Her Majesty the Queen's Green Canopy Campaign. Plant a tree for the Platinum Jubilee. Yeah, if we get that done, and a picture of us all in our fineries for Boxing Day, that'll be one for the family photograph album. My interview for the podcast this week comes from the open air, and we're actually in the car park walking about on the gravel at Hyde Hall in Essex, and I've got two very distinguished gentlemen with me from the world of real soil. But before we get into that detail, if I could introduce first of all Jason Locke. Jason and I go back quite a long way. I think we first met Jason at Knock Cuts in Woodbridge, is that correct?
Yes, Peter, that would have been quite a few years ago now, because I left Knock Cuts probably 10 years ago, probably more, and I was there for 20 years. So, yeah, probably far more years than I can would like to think about, really.
And when you were there, your specialism was landscape design?
That's right. I started out at Knock Cuts back in 1988 as a trainee designer and worked through the business over those 20 years and got involved in building Chelsea Gardens, designing Chelsea Gardens, as well as providing garden design for our clients.
And do you ever go back to those gardens? I often wonder when garden designers do these, you know, quite intricate and special designs, do they ever go back 10 or 20 years? Do they grow to the way that you'd hoped?
Yeah, I over the years I have been back to several, and in fact, with some clients I've, you know, designed and built two or three gardens for them in that time. So I would always go back, as much as anything else, to give some guidance to the clients, but also for my own satisfaction, really, to ensure that it's turned out how I envisaged. Sometimes they do, sometimes there's a bit of change to be made, but on the whole, they've always turned out how I expected them to.
And so why the change? You know, now you're working for the Real Soil Company. Now, can you explain that term a bit and why the change?
Yeah, well, I'm working actually for a company called Boughton, and the Real Soil Company is their retail arm, if you like. I left Knock Cuts, as I say, probably about 10 or 13 years ago, then set up my own business, which went on for about 10 years, and then my business partner and I decided to part ways, so we closed the business. I then worked for another landscape company for 3 years, and then as part of the COVID, I was a COVID casualty, if you like, spent probably about 8 months deciding what to do. And then Simon Headley, who's the managing director of Boughton, he contacted me and said, well, would I like to work for him? I kind of ummed and ahed because it's business development for natural soils, which they specialise in. And I was thinking, well, A, what do I know about soil? And B, what do I know about business development? Simon convinced me I knew quite a bit about both. And so I joined Boughton. And there's, you know, I do know a bit about soil because of my background, but it has been a learning curve. And the more I get into it, the more fascinating it is.
And we have Simon here. So, Simon, I think... Boughton's was set up in 1985 or something. So what is real soil and what do you do and how do you earn a living?
Well, thank you, Peter. Earning a living, yes, I suppose we do just about. We've been around now for over 30 years and basically what we do at Boughton is we produce... products for the commercial landscaping world, and also now we've recently entered the retail market with a product called Super Soil from the Real Soil Company. We basically found that within the retail market there is no topsoil available. It's all made up of manufactured substitute products, so we thought it's about time that people learn a little bit more about real soils. We've been supplying soil into, as I said, to the commercial market and the landscaping market for over 30 years now, so we like to think that we've got a certain amount of experience with these types of products.
Well, now Kettering, which is your base, was always I think the place where good loam came from. Kettering, I think John Innes' formula was seven parts sterilised loam. So when you talk about the landscape business, I mean, does that include cricket pitches and golf courses and that kind of thing? And how can it be that in the retail bags, it's not soil?
Well, yes, you're absolutely right, Peter. We do supply lots of different soils for lots of different markets. We're one of the biggest UK suppliers of cricket loam because obviously in the Kettering area, it's world famous for loams. So we supply anything from a heavy clay loam for a cricket square, but then we also supply things like green roof substrates as well. We've just supplied, or just finished supplying all the green roof substrates for Battersea Power Station. So anything from a cricket square to a roof garden that we can supply and happily would do so.
But I mean, when I travel the countryside and even a county or two, of course the soils vary, don't we? We have chalk soils, sandy soils, good rich loams, heavy clay like I'm on here. Boy, it is heavy clay. Are you ever going to run out of a source of supply for your real soil? And if you go to look at a possible source, how do you check it and what are you looking for?
Okay, well, our soils come predominantly from construction sites, so we would go in there prior to any construction taking place. We would have the soil analysed, and then because of the various products that we make with these soils, there's normally a use for it. I say you've got the heavy soils, which is the cricket loams and the tennis loams, right up to lighter soils, which tend to transport better. So if you're marketing soils, they tend to be on the lighter side. So you're looking about your sandy loams, your sandy clay loams, because they're the ones that will travel better.
You've opened my eyes quite a bit. I didn't think for a minute that if I bought a bag of topsoil from a garden centre that it didn't contain topsoil. I mean, what's in those bags then, for goodness sake?
Okay, well, if you go into a garden centre, you'll find that most of the soils are actually, well, the things that are bagged up as topsoils are actually a blend of mainly sand, and then they will use some organic ameliorant, which tends to be green waste compost. So that is really what you would buy if you went into a garden centre today. Although we are trying to get the Real Soil Company and its product, Super Soil, out to as many garden centres as we can.
But isn't there a British standard that you all work to?
There is such a thing, yes. It's BS3882, which is a very wide standard. It's not really fit for purpose. It tends to be such a wide criteria for soils, just about anything will pass. And it tends to err towards the manufactured product as opposed to the natural product.
I must get myself a bag of this real soil, put it on trial and just see how we get on with it. Thank you very much indeed, Jason and Simon, for spending time.
Thank you.
Every time we meet, we learn something new. Thank you.
Thank you.
Our thanks to all our listeners, contributors and sponsors through the year. Rich and I will take a break next week and be back with you in the new year. It only remains for us to wish you a very happy Christmas and a successful growing new year. An early Christmas gift coming to me is a red metal mug, just the thing for hot drinks in the garden. And written on the outside, gardeners learn by trowel and error. I've seen enough of my trowel planting thousands of spring flowering bulbs in the last few days and hope not too many errors were made planting jarring colours. We'll see you soon enough when all that lot flower in the spring.
There is no better group of plants for flower power than forms of the shrubby potentilla, producing single rose-like flowers continually from June to the first frost.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.